Well, this morning we are doing the power of the gospel, so that's great. And of course, that's the Apostle Paul. And let's have a prayer. Father, we are indeed grateful that you bless us and give us, God, you've given us yourself. You've given us the Spirit. You've given us your word. And I pray that you help us to have insight and to enlighten our minds and hearts, that we might see how these words that were written so long ago are so very real to our life today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. One of the things, did you ever hear self-praise stinks? Did you ever hear that? Self-praise stinks? I think of my mom used to say that all the time, especially when people would, you know, braggarts or whatever. Well, one of the things is that self-praise is not, let's say it this way, self-praise sometimes is necessary, because one of the things is every one of us have a story, okay? And most people don't know the story. They only know what they see. So what they see is what you get, you know? And what they see and what's going on is all there is. But there is a history to each of us, and so what we're doing and what we see with the Apostle Paul is that he's having to defend himself against people. Am I echoing? It sounds echoing to me. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Was somebody whispering? I'm just sorry. But anyhow. See, I should have never got off course. Paul had to talk about who he is. And he had to do so in order to defend what other people were criticizing, but also tie that into how God had changed his life. Okay? Now, you look at how God has changed your life. Now, so we all have a testimony. And we know that we've all been changed. We know that God has been, his grace and his mercy has been with us. And so whenever we talk about how that we have been changed or how that we've been brought through a certain situation, we are giving glory to God that, number one, that he saw us through. And then we see in ourselves now how that whenever we're asking God and praying and we're quoting his word, you know, I think of the intro repeating God's scriptures promise, God, you said that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. God, you said that all things are possible to those who believe. God, you said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God, you said. So what we're doing then is not only reminding God, which he doesn't need reminded, but what we're doing is reminding, and we're allowing the Spirit of God to speak through us, to remind us of what God is telling us about himself and about his word. So when we see how then that God has blessed us and how God has brought us through the years and all the things that we've done, that, you know, God has been there. God has brought us to this point. So the challenge then of the ministry, Paul's ministry of the gospel, was the interaction with the self-styled apostles. The self-styled apostles were the guys who were running around preaching against Paul and teaching against his teachings and degrading Paul as if, you know, he's this silver-spooned orator that grew up in a had the best education and all this kind of stuff. But they would criticize Paul's ability to speak. Okay, and they would criticize, you know, Paul and the strengths of his ministry, they would come against. Now, if you know Paul, you know the history of Paul. Paul was this, you know, the Pharisee, he was the best of the best, and he did not allow, he tells us in his word, the scriptures that he's written, that he did not come to them with the eloquence of speech, but with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So Paul purposely set aside his dictionary that was able to baffle individuals with his language and with his performance. He put that aside to bring to the heart of the matter, the message of Christ to the masses. You know, so if I think at the hospital, we were when you're writing new policies and things, you have to write it. Everything has to be written on a fourth grade level. It's fourth or sixth grade, I don't remember. But everything that is written in the brochures is supposed to be written on a fourth, fifth, or sixth grade level, because that's the understanding and the reading ability of the masses. So they will even feed the information into a computer, and a computer will come back with the words that are appropriate for the words that you're saying. Okay, so Paul was bringing the message of the gospel to a level of understanding that people could understand, but with that level of understanding came the power of the Holy Spirit, which then made it real to them. Now, the people who were criticizing Paul, saying the guy can't talk, you know, the guy can't deliver a proper message, who is he to do all this? So the point is, there are always critics, you know. There, and always remember, they've never built a monument to a critic. And no matter who a leader is, somebody is always going to be throwing things at them. Because when you take the time, or whenever you rise above 52%, you know, people actually, you know, one of the statistics is that people perform at a 50 to 55% level. You know, so if you're at a 70% level, you are above the crowd, and you are going to get thrown things at. Things are going to be thrown at you. That's the way it's said. I wanted to bring that down to a second grade level. Not that it mattered here. So, self-praise is acceptable when it is coupled with a good end or with truth. So, recognizing that God has been with me through this circumstance, God has been with me through this problem. So, and the only way that we is to attribute this situation to God's help. Remember that in all things we give thanks, not necessarily for all things. That God is not the originator of all the things that happen in our life, but we give God praise in those situations because we know that God is going to turn it around to good. Jesus on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He prayed for the people who put him there because he was in charge. So whenever we become thankful, whenever we start, "God, you said," what we're doing is allowing the Spirit to make us in charge. We're allowing God to put us in charge. God and I are in charge of this whatever's coming at my life. Because it's not how it begins, it's how I respond. So I am responding with praise, I am responding with thanksgiving, I am responding by giving God praise. So in doing that, I then am taking on an aspect of being in charge. Amen. Thank you very much. So what Paul encountered in Corinth is not essentially different than what we encounter each day. Devoted Christians are not insulated. Some of us are well packed, but we're not insulated. We're not insulated from people being against us. Okay? People are going to be against us because we're doing the right thing. You know, sometimes people feel guilty because they're not doing the right thing and you are. So what is a guilty person going to do? Either say they're sorry or they're going to tear you down to be like them. So that's the challenge that we see that our faith is working. Now, the scripture that we have is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. These are very, very neat scriptures. These are one, "God, you said." These are enlightening things that help us. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry," okay? Just start with that for a moment. Now, Paul is talking about, and he's presenting this message to the church at Corinth. And Paul is virtually responding to problems that he has seen, that has been told him, or what he has remembered from the church at Corinth. So he's writing to them, helping them to get a grip on the truth. Now, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, he is including them and himself in this ministry. We read this, and what we're seeing is you and I, Paul, church at Corinth, church today, we have this ministry. all of us have a ministry. And we have this ministry as we have received mercy. So what we have received because of the mercy or the divine favor of God bestowing it upon us. The divine favor of God has seen that in our life, you need this. This is what I'm calling you to do. So we have this ministry, okay? It has been given to us by the mercy or the favor of God so that we can become what God created us to be. So we have received mercy, and what happens next? What's in there? We don't faint. Oh, my. We don't faint. In the text that we're speaking on this morning, it says something special, and I forgot what it was. We don't grumble. We don't complain. We don't, anyhow, something like that. That we don't get all worked up over stuff, you know. Fret is the word. We're not a fretful person. If you are fretting, you need to be praying. Because fretting is it's not directed anywhere and it doesn't have an answer. Fretting is saying there is no answer. Praying is, God, I don't understand, but I trust you. There is a way. I don't understand, but there is something working. So we see we have this ministry. God has, by his divine favor, put in you his ministry, and you don't get all upset and don't faint and don't fret and don't get upset because things aren't what they should be, because God, you said you'd be with me. Now here we see that we have renounced the hidden things. So what's going on here is Paul has been accused of many different things. So Paul is telling them, as the people who are listening to him and himself, he's telling us we are renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty, walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. So we see that there is an underhanded, behind-the-scenes way that some people handle the gospel. And that what we do not do in order to twist. We do not do it underhandedly. We speak the truth in love. And sometimes we need to just be quiet, be still, and know that I am God. Jesus didn't answer whenever he was being tried. Some of the accusers he answered, but some of them he refused. And see, there's a time, there's a time to speak, and there's a time to be quiet. And sometimes whenever we really want to say something, that's the time we should not. You know, somebody cuts you off in traffic. Always remember, you give them a piece of your mind, you may not have enough to share, so better keep it. Road rage, yes. Yeah. I'll give you a piece of my mind. Please, please, save it. You need it. All right, what else? But by manifestation of the truth and commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So, we don't step back from being examined. I always said that if someone was in the hospital, being around different docs and people coming from different hospitals and regions and things. They would say, well, the doctor, I told the doctor, and he was all upset that I would challenge him or that I'd even want to have another opinion. I said, if a doc won't allow you to have another opinion, you need another doctor. Because there is no one who knows it all. But if the person is secure in who they are, they will allow someone else to confirm what they see. So the same thing goes on in our life. We don't have to hide from who we are. We don't have to hide that what we are doing, because it's an open book. You know, our life is an open book, and it's an open book before God. So if we're not, Scripture talks about what's done in secret, God knows. You know, so you're not going to hide from God, so why try and hide from anybody else? And you try to put the truth on the table, but, you know, some people will always misinterpret the truth, and you try to straighten it out, and they think you're a liar. And sometimes you just have to let it go. All right, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You see, there is a veil. We would think that if people could just see our heart and understand our purpose and understand our mission, they would be on board. No. The gospel is hid to those that are lost, meaning that they have willfully and intentionally are not receptive to the truth. It's like whenever Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. What did the Pharisees and Sadducees want to do? They wanted to kill Lazarus and Jesus. You know? They were not open to the truth. The gospel was hid to them because they would not allow themselves to see it. And there are people who will not allow themselves to see the truth. So we present the truth, but it doesn't mean they're going to accept the truth. But it doesn't change who we are. It doesn't mean that our ministry has failed. It means that we are doing the right things for the right reason. It's an open book and everybody gets to read whatever they want and interpret it the way they want. So, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine into them. They don't want to see the glory of God. Now, any thoughts, any questions? No. Right. Don't know, you can't see. No. Mm-hmm. Right. If you want to read something that's really terrible, I mean, not it's the Humanist Manifesto, and the Humanist Manifesto basically is to end up their commandments that they have is to end up proving that there is no God and that only technology and only knowledge is going to bring the world to a place of oneness. Knowledge will do this. So they denouncing God and that basically saying that they are the that human mankind is the highest order of evolution. Therefore, we, with our knowledge, and if we can just bring knowledge to a place where people can understand, they will change. And that, you know, it's the head that's going to change. And God is saying, no, it's your heart that's going to change. When the inward man changes, the outward man manifests, you know, there's a change. And when the inward man changes, it affects our thinking, it affects our perspective. So that we are not wanting to have a positive attitude, because if we can just convince everybody intellectually that they are good, that it will work. But God is saying that if you change the heart of a man, you change the destiny, you change his whole perspective. And so God is wanting to change us from the inside out. And so the Word of God interacts with our spirit. The spirit of man bears witness with the spirit of God. The spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so we have this confirmation, the confirmation of God's word, and then we have the reality of running into life. You know, running into life, and these are the experiences of life. The not so good experiences, whatever they may be, you know, seeming perceived failures and perceived things happening. You know, it's all, God has a purpose. God has a plan. And the devil meant it for evil, but God can make it good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. But there's an aspect of science that is coming to the point that there's no way that this all the universe and everything could just happen. There's a separation between their knowledge and their living.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, don't judge me for what I say. I mean, don't judge me for what I do. It's what I say that's important. You know, it's almost like, and I hate to, you know, draw the, but it can be anyone's life, whether it's a religion or politics. You know, it's like, okay, let's present this, and this is what I want everybody to know, and then we go back here and we're a totally different person. Well, the difference with the gospel is that what I say and what I believe is really who I am. And if it's not, then we need to bring it in alignment with God. And it's not a condemnation. If we're living two lives, one on Sunday morning and one on Monday morning, then that's not the gospel. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what Paul is presenting here, is that he's presenting what God, who God is and what God has done, and that people are accusing him behind the scenes of not living the life that he is talking about. And then he goes on to talk about all the things that he's gone through and how he's gone through them and how that God has brought him through. Like, for we preach not ourselves. I'm not here I'm not here talking to you about the Apostle Paul and Paul worship. He's saying, I'm here about Jesus Christ and ourselves, your servant of Jesus Christ, Jesus' sake. For God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge, There we go. It's the light of the knowledge of God, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light stands for the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So whenever we have the light of the knowledge of God, we are seeing the face of Christ. The light of the knowledge is not about revealing who we are, but who Christ is, and then how that Christ then becomes part of us, and we then are the body of Christ. We are then, you know, we are servants of Christ, and we operate in the power of Christ and of his love. And that's where we come down to, God, you said, you know, I have this problem, but God, you said you would never leave me. I feel abandoned. I feel alone. But God, you said I'm never alone. You know, I have this problem, but God said, you know, but God, you said that you would, you know, supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. God, you said. And so what we're doing then is allowing the Spirit of God, that's how I imagine it. I think of the Spirit of God inside of us, bringing to our remembrance the things that we have studied in God's word, and the Spirit inside of us is bringing those things together to us that we would say them to God, really allowing ourselves to receive them as a gift from God. So we're saying them not to remind God, but God is saying them inside of us to remind us that God is in us and that this is what he has promised. Yeah, I'm the one who needs reminded. You know, well, I always say, well, God is trying our faith. God already knows our faith. He wants us to know. So I'm going through this difficulty. God must have a purpose for it. Yeah, it's for me. You know, I'm going through this. Yeah. Well, what are you doing with it? I'm giving God praise. I'm being still. I don't know what to do. I'm praying for direction. You see, I think of Paul whenever he was wanting to go to out to China and to go to East. And, you know, the Spirit forbade him from going. And he wasn't allowed to leave and go a particular direction until he received the Macedonian call. He received that dream, that vision from God to go to Macedonia. And his move to Macedonia brought us the gospel. That one decision changed the destiny of Europe and changed our destiny, that Macedonian call. So you see, there he was struggling. He wanted to go one way, but God wanted him to go another, and God forbade him. So you see, in our life, God has a way of closing the door, you know, and God has a way of opening the door. And because it's closed, that's not a bad thing. So I like this next part, 2 Corinthians 4, 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in clay pots. You know, so, and I know, some of us are crackpots. But we leak, and not crack meaning cocaine, crackpots meaning slashes and breaks into pot. That's right, that's right. Can't get the light in unless the jar is cracked. So what it's saying is God, here is going back to the idea of creation, that we're created. God made us of the dust of the earth and breathed into us the breath of life, and we became a living soul. So the this clay pot has life in it. See, this is where we as Christians differ from the rest of the world. That this clay pitcher, because of the breath of God in us, we are eternal. We are eternal, and the light of Christ is shown in our life, and our eyes would be open that we could see the truth, and then the light is inside of us that the knowledge of the glory of God, we would see the face of God. The light of the glory of God shines in me. And that we're just a clay pitcher, so there's nothing in us, but it's who's inside of us that makes the pitcher valuable. See? And that the glory of God is the light of God. So the glory of God, the light of God, and what is light? You know, the word and knowledge, and those things turn the light on. Aha! The aha moment of the idea and the Spirit and all that come together. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency... Now, when Paul starts talking about what he's done, what he's been through, how he's gone through it, it's because that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See? It is not possible for me to do this. But, God, you said. You know, Amanda's with us, and she's going where, Indonesia? Okay. I remember one of our ladies that was here in church. Her name was Sister Byers. And I think she was 18 at the time. And she packed her barrels and went to Japan. She went from Chambersburg area. But can you imagine going to Japan at 18 with your barrels and you're going on a boat? It's going to take you a few months and you don't know the language. And you're going to meet somebody in a foreign country and hope that they're there. 50 years she was there. You're only 19. Hey, pack your bags, lady. You're out of here. So she's 19. I wondered how old you were. Yeah. So, but you see that the parallel is that that when God has called us, He has called us, and that His calling is His enablement, and His enablement is that in this clay pitcher, that there's something inside of us saying this is the way, and that in this whole journey we are then saying, God, you said. You said you would provide. You said you would give me direction. You give me knowledge. Whatever I need, you would be there. And so Paul says that. So the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This is not about me. This is about God. And so Paul is challenged to make that happen. We are troubled. This is his declaration. You know, he's telling the Corinthians, we are troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. So being a Christian and a believer doesn't mean troubles cease. I've got troubles, yeah? And your question is? You know, welcome to life. I got a problem, okay? I've got a very real problem, and I have a very real God. I have a very real situation, and I have a very real promise. See, that's the difference. Denial is not faith. Denial says, I don't have a problem. The whole world is rosy, and I just believe in the roses. And then I get stuck with the thorns. You know. But the challenge is that we understand that I have troubles. Daniel went to the lion's den. That was a problem. You know? He's going to the lion's den, what for? Take a nap. He's going to be there all night. So, you know, he had a problem. The three Hebrew children, the three Hebrew teenagers, you know, they had a problem. They're not going to bow down. You're creating your own problem here. But you see, when you create your own problem, if the problem we're creating is based upon our faith and our understanding, then we're not going to go against what we know God wants us to do. Okay? If we do what God wants us to do, we don't have a problem. Well, I may end up in the furnace. Yeah? Well, you want to roast on a spit, or do you want it well done? I mean, you know, what do you want? You know, we're going in. God is able to save us, but if not, you see, I have a very real problem. God is my solution, and if it doesn't happen, that's okay. He's still my solution. He'll provide another way. So our faith is we are troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. Why? Because we have promises. We are perplexed. I don't understand this, but I'm not despairing. Despair has the connotation of it can't get any worse than this. Everything that I wanted crumbled. Everything that I believed in has fallen apart. You know, there was years ago we had, there was a book, it was Og Mandino, Greatest Salesman in the World. And it was, you know, it's a 10 whatever. It's about thoughts and about, you know, doing your mind and, you know, doing those types of things, but without God. The guy wrote it, Og Mandino, I think he wrote it by using biblical principles but not using the Bible. And he just alluded. And there was an individual that was, Rhonda met, I believe he was a professor. Yeah, he was a professor at Penn State. And he was totally sold on this mind and all this was going to work and how it was going to work. And then tragedy entered his life and everything collapsed and he was in despair because the book and the knowledge of the book couldn't keep him. And you see, the knowledge of God is what keeps us. Because the knowledge of God and the knowledge of God's word is eternal. It cannot end and it will take us through life to eternity, not leave us despairing in life. So no matter what happens, I am in God's hands. Whether I live or whether I die, I belong to God. I am safe in God's hands, whether I'm living or dying, that doesn't change. I'm still safe. So I'm not in despair. I am persecuted. People are against me. But you know what? I'm not forsaken. God has never forsaken me. God will never leave me. And his promises tell me that he's never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging bread, the psalm. So God has not forsaken us. Then the next one is cast down. I've been knocked down, but I'm not destroyed. I'm coming back. You see, that's the can-do power of the Spirit, that no matter what happens, this can't destroy me. Now, things can, you know, everything can fall apart and everything can collapse, but no matter what happens, we're not destroyed. We're not in despair, as in it'll never work. So, one more thought. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus. Ongoing process of adversity that Jesus did all the miracles and did all the right things, and people still didn't believe in him. Still didn't understand until after the resurrection. And in our life, that it's an ongoing process. I haven't arrived yet. So no matter where we are going, no matter where we're at in our spiritual journey, we're in the process of becoming. We're not there yet. We haven't arrived. When you arrive is when you step into the gate of heaven and I'm home. Then you've arrived. Until then, we're in a process. We live also if Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, meaning that we die daily, meaning that it's not my will but God's will. It's what does God want out of this? Where does God want to take me in all of this? And there is one other thing. So, and then we go, skip over to verse 13, 2 Corinthians 4:13. We, having the same spirit of faith, meaning the same spirit of faith that Christ has, according as it is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken. What I believe, I speak. What I speak, I believe. And what I speak, I believe, I do. And so we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. All of us are going to be presented together by the Holy Spirit to heaven. We're going to be presented. So until that day comes, allow the Holy Spirit to keep presenting God, that the knowledge of the Lord of God, I see the face of Christ. And in that knowledge, I allow the Spirit of God to speak. And for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. That the abundant grace, the abundant favor, blessing of God might through thanksgiving. God, I give you thanks and praise. The key in all of this is give thanks, you know, knowing that Christ is raised, that the Spirit raised up Christ from the dead. If that Spirit dwells in us, he will quicken our mortal bodies, not only quicken us in death, but quicken us in life. So I'm alive in Christ, I'm alive forevermore, and nothing can take away the life of God inside of me. So the life of God is my strength. And that the abundant grace, the abundant favor, with thanksgiving, may rebound. Anybody know what a rebound is? You throw a ball against the wall, it rebounds back. You are giving something away and it keeps bouncing back at you. Thanksgiving to the glory of God keeps coming my way. Why? It rebounds. I can't give it away without it coming back at me. For which cause we faint not, there's that word again, we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So, don't worry about getting old. It happens. We may perish, but it doesn't matter. It just gets better and better. I get better looking every day. That's why I don't use a mirror. That's a joke. Okay. Any closing thoughts? Any thoughts? Have fun. Well, Father, we thank you. Thank you for your blessings, for your word, that we may rebound the favor that comes into our lives because we give you praise and thanksgiving. We thank you for where you have brought us from. We thank you for where we are going. We thank you for this day and for this time in which we are renewed in our hearts and minds. We thank you, God, for the blessings that have come to us. So, Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor and glory. And we know, Lord, that you will bless our lives because we will be blessings to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not only be blessings, we are blessings to others. Amen.